Welcome to the Security Serengeti. We're your hosts, David Schoeniger and Matthew Keener. Stop what you're doing and subscribe to our podcast. Leave us a five-star review and follow us at SerengetiSec on Twitter.
We're here to talk more about cybersecurity, and each episode will focus on a specific topic or two of interest to the community. Today, talking about the 2022 DBIR.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are ours and ours alone and do not reflect the views or opinions of our employers.
And now for your enjoyment, here's a classic Security Serengeti episode from our history, the 2021 DBIR.
Because it's pretty much the same thing as last year.
Well, there have been no vast revelations.
Yeah.
So obviously this thing is too huge for us to go through the whole thing. So we're just going to be...
This is going to be like a 6-hour episode. Like, I'm prepped. I got snacks. I got drinks. Like, I'm not moving. I brought a bucket that I can... Wait, that's a little too far.
Oh, I got the colostomy bag installed. It's just much simpler.
Yikes. I thought I went too far.
So we're going to touch on four parts of this. We're going to talk about some statistics. Then we're going to talk about some industries, attack types, and then wrap it up about with the discussion about some of the regional data.
And this is still going to take an hour.
Probably because you don't want to shut up. Listen to the melodiousness of Matt's voice.
Oh, yeah. All right. So stats. Supply chain was responsible for 62% of system intrusion incidents this year. I don't know that I believe that.
I wonder if, I mean, this might be skewed because of SolarWinds. And it's skewed because of SolarWinds. And that MSP that got compromised, forget the name now.
This is what we were talking about last week. There's been so many things that they're all...
Right. But I think those two, because the sheer volume of compromise related, those two specific instances, I think skewed the numbers for this year. Errors continue to dominate, to be a dominant trend as well, with being responsible for 13% of breaches. And this is heavily skewed by the misconfiguration of cloud storage, which has been the bane of our existence for a number of years now, with the S3 buckets being one of the main elements there. 82% of breaches involved a human element, which is someone clicked the link or received an email, opened an attachment or something along those lines. Now, this is an interesting number here. Ransomware has an almost 13% increase, which is as big as the last 5 years combined.
That's a hundred percent increase because it went from 12% to 25%. That's a 13% like flat increase.
Right. Because it's at 25% total now.
Yeah. That's astounding. It's like 100% year over year increase.
Wait, you said last year is at 12%? Because I thought the way that I read this was that 5 years ago it was 12% and now it's at 25%.
If you look at last year is at 12%, this year's at 25%. So the way that they wrote this, they said, this quote, this year ransomware has continued its upward trend with an almost 13% increase, a rise as big as the last 5 years combined. The way they should have written that is it had an over 100% year over year increase because it went up 13% as an absolute number. But as a percentage of increase over the previous year, it went up over 100%. And whenever you use percentages, you're usually not talking about the absolute number. You're usually talking about the relative number. I don't like the way they phrase this.
I agree.
As a relative number, it doubled.
Yeah, more than doubled.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the chart, and the chart has it in 2020 as 12 and 2021 as 25. And in 2019, as like 5, and then in 2018 is like 2. I don't know, it's hard. They only have 0 and 10 on the y-axis.
Right. So 1/4 of events were ransomware, which is
that's
crazy.
And that blows my mind, especially because we saw the FBI report earlier this year that said that the vast majority of crime from a dollar amount was around BEC and ransomware was such a small amount. And my conclusion from that was, maybe we're spending a little bit too much time on ransomware and we should be focusing a little bit more on the BEC stuff. Although then this comes out and this is like, whoa, ransomware is still getting way, like still blowing up.
Yeah. By volume, ransomware is, yeah, is more.
Well, unfortunately, I don't think this really addresses BEC, does it? Because I don't think people call. I think the problem here is what we're looking at is that I don't know that the FBI gets called for ransomware, for all the ransomware. And I don't know that Verizon gets called for all the BEC. So we may be looking at two people with two different data sets that don't have the full visibility.
I'm sure they get called for some because they do mention BEC in social engineering.
Yep. Yeah. I think the answer is that BEC and ransomware are the two big ones. Like those are the two big things that there's not just one. We don't get to pick just one to focus on. Those are the two big things that we have to have an answer for as security practitioners.
This kind of relates back to, you know, in the military, we have, when you're doing order battle threat intelligence, or when you're doing order battle intelligence, you'll brief the commander on two things: the most likely and the most dangerous. Mm. So if you were to break this down, you'd say the most likely is ransomware, the most dangerous is BEC.
Hmm. I'd actually argue opposite. BEC is probably more likely, but ransomware might be more dangerous because BEC, like, you lose money, but it's not going to shut down your business.
Well, yeah.
Although I don't know. I guess it depends how big the BEC is.
Well, if you're talking about in terms of loss and you're saying that overall BEC costs more,
but
ransomware is 25% of the market, then you're talking about the volume of ransomware being more, which is means it's more likely. Maybe. But BEC costs some more money, which means it's the most dangerous. So that's kind of the way I would look at it.
I guess it depends on which one your company can afford. Can you afford to pay more money, or can you afford to be down for days or weeks?
Yeah, well, it depends on what your response is. Do you pay or not pay? All right. So another statistic was that the discovery of breaches, it is measured in days now around 80% of the time, which is good.
That's great.
Whereas
That's
awesome. Months, it's only around 20%. But one of the sad things about it is that the top discovery method, more than 50% was from actor disclosure. Okay.
So if you remove the actor disclosure, is it still in months?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, but because you never know, because if the actor doesn't disclose, you have no idea when you would detect it.
All right.
That's interesting.
And the last stat we're going to go into is the timeline, and this is on page 20. So the vast majority of the breaches included only a couple of steps: phishing, downloader, ransomware, and a few breaches utilized five or more actions. But one took as many as 75 steps.
75 steps, which is almost like a... like one of those old movies in the 20s, like a Three Stooges movie where they're bumbling around and bouncing off of computers.
My guess is that this was someone new. You know, that was not a seasoned professional. It was 75 steps.
Either that, or they were looking for something very specific, like some specific type of data that only existed on a specific server. But I mean,
they were wandering around knocking over brooms and stuff like that, and they still didn't get caught until 75 steps later.
Yeah, but they did get caught.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if Verizon was coming, they could have been long gone, you know?
Oh, you're right. You're right. This could be after the fact.
Yeah. It took them, you know, months to run their 75 steps, and then 6 months later is when they found them and called in Verizon. I don't know. But one of the things that's got me thinking about, you know, if the decreased number of steps it takes for them to achieve their objectives continues on that trend, what does that mean for our shift towards risk-based alerting? You know, so if you move to risk-based alerting.
So I don't think it's actually a problem, because I still think there's lots of places where it can be detected. I think the article that we talked about 2 weeks ago about ransomware, where they broke down ransomware to only four steps, there's the initial access, lateral movement, getting Active Directory credentials, and then deploying ransomware. And then I guess activating the ransomware. So maybe five steps there. But either way, so doing, for example, if there is a malware download and execution, you can have a risk-based alert that triggers on a high-risk site being contacted via proxy, a download from a newly registered site, a executable download or a suspicious download, hidden PowerShell window, encoded PowerShell command run, statistical beaconing behavior, DNS beaconing, C2 commands being run, malware detection.
Right. So what you're saying is that each step may have multiple attributes, which would each trigger a different risk-based alert, which would then be consolidated or rolled up into that higher threshold score, which would tip it over the edge.
Yeah. And what you may end up having is you may find some of your longitudinal RBA alerts aren't triggering as often, because there's a couple different ways to actually trigger the alert, where more than X number of MITRE tactics or more than Y number of MITRE techniques are being triggered. Those you may need to tweak because you may not see quite as many there.
Okay, so that doesn't completely negate the risk-based alerting, which is something that I thought might be of concern. So
yeah, and I think this is really being driven by the ransomware one, because if all you're doing is ransomwareing everything, like you don't really care about going laterally and searching for stuff. You don't really care about trying to find a bunch of data to pull it out. You really just care about, where's the AD controller? And then how do I push out stuff to as many things as possible? So you're not really spending a ton of time looking for stuff. You're not spending a ton of time poking around. You're not trying to compromise a bunch of credentials. You really only care about one credential.
Yeah, provided you can get the ransomware deployed.
Yeah.
All right. So the next section we're going to talk about is the top five industries minus unknown, which I mean uncategorized industries, I guess. And this is on page 50.
For those of you following along while you're driving.
Which we do not endorse, by the way. All right. So on page 60, we have finance. So they had 2,527 instances, and 690 of those were breaches. So that's 27 and a third events or instances were breaches.
Mainly, not really a surprise.
What's that?
That's not really a surprise.
No. The main problems were errors and web attacks. System intrusions are way up from last year, though, but social engineering was fairly steady from the previous year. The system intrusion went from 14% to 30%.
So I think this makes sense, because this is one of the few industries where you can get money out of them through system intrusion or web attacks if you can break into their accounts, if you can break into, you know, their banking apps or whatever.
Yeah, directly. You don't have to wait for them to pay.
Yeah, you don't have to ransomware them or anything. You just transfer it out.
Yeah, it's robbing versus kidnapping. Mm-hmm. So what they said also, which was interesting, was 79% of this, they said was organized crime.
What? It's crazy.
Also for the financial industry, the service was twice as prevalent for financial institutions as others.
That's interesting. Maybe because people think they can pay it.
Well, I'm guessing that's, you know, it's extortion, just like a ransomware. You know, we'll keep you offline till you pay or something like that.
Yep.
All right. So the next sector is information. So they had 2,561 events. 378 of those were breaches, which means 14.7%. Hacking is pretty steady, but it's a slight uptick. Malware
sounds like
is
a weather.
And coming in from the east, we have malware, which is way up. Errors have dropped off as the malware events rose, and social engineering was still steady. Manufacturing, they have 2,337 events, 338. Which means 14.3 were breaches. And these were mainly due to web attacks, hacks, and denial of service was also way up along with system intrusion. What was interesting was social engineering for those, though, was way down as compared to the others, which were holding steady.
You know, manufacturing, looking at it, had everything down except denial of service. That's weird.
And the next industry is professional, lawyers, et cetera. So it's hard to feel bad, but so they had 3,566 instances with 681 breaches, which brought that to 19.1%. And hacks were way up and social engineering was way down.
Yeah, that's interesting. Lots more system intrusions over the last 2 years for them. I wonder if that's for people looking like espionage or something.
That's hard to say. And then the last one of the top five was public administration. So they had 2,792 events, of 537 of those were breaches. Denial of service was way up for public admin, and social engineering was way down, which almost mirrored each other from 2022 or 2020.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
I hate this chart. There's too many reddish colors that I can't tell.
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing. Their color scheme could be greatly improved because the colors were too close to each other. But one of the interesting statistics out of this thing is that the finance sector had more breaches per incident than the other top five. You know, so
attackers are being more successful each time they try, or
that's the way I take it. That compared to what's the right way to put this? There's a greater likelihood of incidents in financial institutions becoming breaches than the others.
It's interesting, given their budgets and their spending are usually so much higher than everybody else.
Right. Which you would think that would not be the case. But one of the things that you may or may not have noticed is that healthcare is not in there, not in the top five. Healthcare was one third as high as these were. And one of the interesting takeaways from all these is that social engineering on average was either steady or down for all groups. If you look at page 23, you can see the overall decline. And that goes the opposite against basic web attacks, which was steadily on the rise.
So does that mean everybody's finally been socially engineered and they're finally figured it all out?
Yeah, everybody's just done with it. They're over it.
They're so over it.
All right. And one section of note here, because, you know, Matt cares about it, is education on page 57. Yeah. So system intrusion is way up, which makes sense due to the ransomware. And 95% of the actors' motivations were financial in the education space.
I don't understand that.
Makes no sense because schools are underfunded and those poor teachers don't get paid enough money as it is. Financially motivated going against all these poor people?
That is kind of cruel to like hit up the schools with ransomware and then be like, now pay us millions of dollars that you can't really afford.
But well, of course, you know, we're kind of assuming that we're talking about educational services. We're thinking about high schools and public education. We're probably talking about colleges that are charging people an arm and a leg to go to school.
I should start ransoming Harvard.
Well, they got money to burn for sure.
Yeah, they do. Yes, they do. All right.
All right. So now we're going to move into the attacks. So on pages 51 to 52, you have most attacks were malware and hacking of servers, which is interesting, you know, because we were just talking about a minute ago that, you know, if BEC is where the money's at, why are we not seeing the volume of BEC that we're seeing with these other types of attacks? It's like the attackers don't know where the money's at.
I still think they're looking at a different data set than the FBI is. I bet that there's some overlap, but not a ton of overlap between the data sets between this and the FBI report.
Well, I guess one would think that would be the case because if the attackers knew that there was money to be made in BEC, they would be doing it, I would think. So maybe it is just a matter of data sets.
You know, though, if all they wanted was money, they'd be trying to hack all these crypto projects. Did you see the $100 million hack that happened yesterday?
No, I didn't see that.
There was another crypto bridge to another crypto project that was hacked for $100 million because it relied on a multi-factor authentication, which was you had to have control of enough accounts to give yourself permission to pull money off it. So the attacker just gained control of enough accounts, which was done through social engineering, I'm sure, some kind of credential phishing. And they just transferred $100 million out of it.
Wow. And that had to be a lot of coins then, because crypto was way down.
Yep. Yeah. It's ridiculous. That's where the money is. That's all these ridiculous crypto hacks.
Well, yeah, at least it's where the money used to be. The market cap for crypto at one time was at $3 trillion, and now it's hovering around 800 million.
Wait, did you say million or billion?
A billion.
Ugh, chump change.
I think I said million, but I meant billion.
It's nothing. No. I wouldn't even get out of bed for that much.
Oh, I'm pretty sure you would.
So on page 13, they had an interesting statistic where, because they broke it down also into actions. They've been broken down into a couple of weird categories. And one of the things they broke it down into was, apparently it's not page 13. I wrote down page 13, but now that I'm on page 13, I'm not seeing that. Oh, it's page 14. So on page 14, it says actions, tells the story of how the security incident or breach played out. And their number one action with 70% is web application hacking. Now, we've seen this in the past with other reports where where hacking is not always hacking. And on page 26, they do say that this includes stolen credentials. So unfortunately, it's not all hacking. I got excited when I saw this too, because so much of security is not about hacking. And I think they say later that somewhere around 80% of these attacks are actually just stolen credentials, which, so it seems like if we could get identity management down, we could wipe out 80% of the web application hacking as a vector.
Yeah, I would say that might be the major insight from this whole thing, from the whole article.
And it drives me nuts that it's buried under web application hacking.
Right.
Ridiculous.
They explain why that makes sense.
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. Putting in stolen credentials is not web application hacking.
Yeah, you think that that would be its own separate thing. Credential reuse, yep, or, you know, compromised credentials or whatever would be a completely separate thing, rather than rolling it up under something like application hacking.
So other stuff on the basic web application attack, they did show that exploit vulnerabilities, about 15% of them, which is going up since last year, but still kind of a tiny part of it. But we talked about vulnerability management last week. Can't ignore it. Still important. Denial of service. A vast majority of companies that monitor for denial of service experience less than 10 a year, but 1% of companies experience more than 1,000. Who did they piss off? It's interesting that such a tiny fraction of companies get the vast majority of denial of services.
Well, it could be that, you know, we were talking about a minute ago that they're extortion attempt. So maybe if they actually succumb to the extortion, the attackers just keep coming back to the piggy bank.
Mm. Yeah.
But man, 1,000, that's ridiculous. That means, I mean, that averages more than three a day.
Yeah. Yeah. That is, I mean,
that's also something else than, you know, now that I think about it, when you're talking about three a day, is that really three separate instances or is it one instance with a break?
Yeah.
You know, so it could be
once you start talking about multiple times in a day.
Yeah. Unless they're able to say that it came from three different actors on the same day. I don't know. They might be playing with the numbers a bit here, and that might be not exactly accurate. There's some nuances in definitions, maybe.
Yeah.
But of course, the volume is going up on how much is being thrown at these companies in each instance. So in 2013, the median was 422 megabytes. In 2016, it was 1.1 gig. And in 2021, it was 1.3. And I believe just last week, there was another record set for total volume in a single attack. Unfortunately, I don't have that number right in front of me. I believe it's only in the terabytes. Now, for system intrusions, the incident counts are pretty flat, but breaches are way up. And we believe this is due to what we were talking about a minute ago with the SolarWinds and that MSP compromise last year.
Yeah, you have some interesting numbers here for SolarWinds stock.
Yeah, so just on December 7th of 2020, SolarWinds was at $24.84. On December 14th, after the news got out about their compromise, they were down to $14.96. And today they're $10.83.
So this is interesting because normally after a compromise, the stock bounces back pretty quickly.
Yeah. And this is that cautionary tale that we've been thinking about for years where company does not recover, because this has been a slow and steady decline since this happened 2 years, man, not even 2 years ago yet. just a year and a half ago, their stock is still at less than 50% of what it was.
All right. So there's some regional stuff on page 79 that I thought was a little bit interesting. For example, under incidents, basic web application attacks in APAC is wildly out of scale with everybody else. 3,450 basic web application attacks for APAC, and the next highest is North America at 165. Now, remember we mentioned before that 80% of these were stolen credentials? So the vast majority of these were stolen credentials. It's just very strange that Asia Pacific was so heavily represented here. Also, interestingly enough, they only had these mostly as incidents, not breaches. They had 3,400 incidents, but only 85 breaches. I don't recall if they described what the difference was between incidents and breaches. I'm sure that they don't get called in for when the attacker doesn't make it in. So I guess a breach is almost certain. Oh, there we go. Incident, a security event that compromises. All right, so that's a compromise. And then a breach is where there was a disclosure of data. So there were 3,450 times that an attacker logged in. Well, 80% of those, sorry. But only 85 times that an attacker, you know, made it out with data. Interesting. Yeah. Another item that was very high was denial of service. Was much higher in North America than anywhere else. I feel like that's probably pretty self-explanatory, though. The rest of the world punishing the United States.
Take that.
Social engineering was much higher than expected in Europe and the Middle East. So that's a little weird. They helpfully color-coded these to show you where it was more prevalent than expected based on the amount of data they had. System intrusion breaches in North America are way higher than everybody else. That's a lot, but I don't know.
Yeah, and some of these charts just look completely bizarre when you look at them. For instance, if you look on page 82, where they show the pattern over time in Europe, Middle East, and Africa for breaches, they show it's almost a vertical between basic web applications going down and social engineering going up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's super weird.
And there are a couple of charts that have this kind of pattern in them as well for different things throughout the report also. For instance, there's another chart on page 72 that depicts patterns over time in public administration breaches where social engineering is almost a straight drop and system intrusion is almost a straight vertical.
Yeah.
So there are a couple in there that just, there's just such radical differences from the previous year. It strikes me as really strange.
Yeah. But that's kind of the problem with this is there's a bunch of weirdness in here and there's no real conclusions we can draw from it.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I really don't think we're going to cover this again.
Oh.
It just seems to be a lot of navel gazing without a lot of actionable information out of here. Like I said, we talked about a second ago. The one thing to pull out of this whole report is what you mentioned about getting identity under control because of the volume of credential reuse or compromised credentials being used to compromise systems.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, and if you need your annual reminder that you still need to patch everything and you still need to watch out for social engineering and you still need to watch out for ransomware and
yeah, well then you just need the email notification that tells you the report is out and that, you know, then there's your reminder. I'm not sure there's a whole, like I said, I don't think there's a whole lot in here that's going to be worth running through and pulling out if you expect to get anything actionable out of the report. You want to look at it and say, oh, well, these numbers are interesting. That's fine. But if you're actually expecting to get anything useful out of here, I'm skeptical.
Oh, I mean, there were two things. There was that one you mentioned about the creds, and then there was one about the ransomware. The ransomware doubled again. I think that's pretty important.
Yeah, but the ransomware part is not actionable, though. You already ransomware is a bad thing, and you know it's on the rise, and it's going to continue to go up until someone figures this out.
That's fair.
But the fact that 80% of what they're categorizing as hacking was due to credential problems, then I think that is something that you can take back and say, oh, well, there is something we can do about this with getting our credential management under control.
That's fair. Yep. All right. Well, that looks like that's all we have to discuss on this today. Thank you for joining us. Follow us at SerengetiSec on Twitter and subscribe on your favorite podcast app.